Okay, in preparation for Shavuot, I thought we would study the Prakim of Hallel. And in order to do this in one shiur, we're going to be taking a slightly different approach. We're not going to do a close reading of one perek. We're going to take a sort of larger view at these six Prakim of Tehillim that make up Hallel. Now, as I wrote in the little Hakdama on the Swiss sheet, the Gemara tells us in the Masechet Pesachim, part of the Gemara you have on the sheet here, which we'll look at in a minute, the Gemara tells us, and we know lahalacha, that there's a mitzvah to recite Hallel under certain conditions. And according to some Rishonim, that mitzvah is actually d'oraita. And if it's a mitzvah d'oraita, that means that then there's a further discussion whether the mitzvah d'oraita is just the concept of singing praises to God, but the actual texts maybe were written later. But there is an opinion that even the text of Hallel is mid-d'oraita, and of course that gets into the question of when Hallel was written, that we'll take a look at here. But in any case, let's start with that. Let's look at the braita that I gave you on the sheet. Tana Rabbana. Hallel ze mi amro. Who said Hallel? Who created this? Who wrote it? Rabbi Elazar amr, Moshe b'Yisrael amru b'shash amdu al hayam. According to Rabbi Elazar, Hallel was composed by Moshe and B'nai Israel. Now the Torah tells us that they composed a different song, right? What song did they compose? Shirat Hayam, Az Yashir Moshe, B'nai Israel, Tashira Hazot. But according to Rabbi Elazar, in addition to the Shirat Hayam that they sang immediately after being saved from the Mitzrim at Yam Suf, they also wrote the Hallel. Hey Mamru, they said to Hashem, Lo Lanu Hashem, Lo Lanu, Ki L'Shim Chatein Kavod, Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh, and Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem himself responded, Vamralim, and quoted a pasuk in, or said something which later became, I guess, a pasuk in Yishayahu, Lima'ani, Lima'ani E'eseh. We said to God, don't do it for us, do it for you. We'll look at that perek in a few minutes. And God responded, I'm going to do it for myself. So according to that opinion, Hallel was composed by Moshe and B'nai Israel on Sinai, and assumedly the one who holds that Hallel is min HaTorah, and even the text of Hallel is min HaTorah, would have to say that it was written that early. Rabbi, what was that?
Why wasn't it like in the Torah?
For some reason, that it wasn't written down in the Torah. It remained, I guess, at that point as Torah Shebaal Peh, and later on was written as the Book of Tehillim, but its author was Moshe Rabbeinu. At least one parak in Tehillim we know is written by Moshe. Tfila LeMoshe, Isha Elokim. Right, so Moshe wrote it, but that doesn't make it part of the Torah. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehoshua b'Yisrael amruhu, b'shah shem du aleihem malchei kena, heim amru lo lanu, u'mishiva ruach hakodesh v'chule. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was a similar concept. B'nai Yisrael said lo lanu, and Hashem responded, l'mani, l'mani eseh, but it didn't happen. It wasn't in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in response to being saved at Yam Suf, but rather it was written by Yehoshua and the people of that generation in response to being saved from the Malchei Canaan. Rabbi Elazar Hamoda'i Omer, Dvora Ubarak Amruhu, Bishasha Maralehim Sisra, Heim Amru Lolan, Vuruach HaKodesh Meshiva, Vel Merit Lehem Leman Nilaman Niaseh. According to this opinion, it's a similar concept, but it wasn't in the time of Moshe and Nantam Yeshua. Was later on in the time of Dvorah and Barak, in the time of the Book of Shoftim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari Omer Chizkiya b'siyato, much later. Chizkiya Melech Yehuda, another 400 years later. 300 years after David HaMelech. Chizkiya Melech Yehuda, the one who dug that tunnel that we walked through, right? Back in your David, right? When he was defending against Sancherev at that time. Chizkiya b'siyato amruhu, B'shah shamar aleihim sancheret. Heim amru lolanu, meshiva ruach hakodesh v'chule. Rabbi Akiva Omer was even later than that. Chananya, Mishael, v'Azariah amruhu, b'shah shamar aleihim Nebuchadnezzar harasha. Heim amru lolanu, umeshiva ruach hakodesh v'chule. He says it was much later than that. It was in the time described in the Book of Daniel, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. V'chachamim omrim, well, you know, before we go on to the opinion of the Chachamim, so we have here five different opinions, I think, right? Whether it was in the time of Moshe, the time of Yehoshua, the time of Dvar and Barak, the time of Chizkiyah, or the time of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Five different opinions about who wrote it. And yet all the opinions are very similar. What do they all seem to agree on? That they wrote it in a time when they were under oppression or being threatened, and then they were saved. And even the format that they said to Hashem, a pasuk that's in the Hallel, Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, and he responded with a pasuk from Yeshayahu, Lemani, lemani eseh. And again, I don't think they mean that they only said that pasuk. I think what they're doing is they're, all these opinions agree on what the concept of Hallel is. Hallel is, what? Okay, the word Hallel certainly means praise, but praise for what type of circumstance?
Being saved
from an enemy, right? Not even like the types of, there are other things you might say, right? Last time we learned, was it last time? We learned Parakuf Zion, we talked about people who were saved from other types of problems, people who crossed deserts and oceans and were cured from illness, right? That's not what this is. This is being saved from an enemy. Whether the enemy is Paro, or whether the enemy is Malchei Canaan, right? Oh, and I skipped one. There's one more. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, the sixth opinion. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Mordechai Esther Amru, B'shasha Maralei Ma'amara Rasha, Heim Amru Lolanu, U'mishiva Ruach HaKodesh V'chulei. So according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, it's even later than that. It's even later than Hanani, Mishael, Be'azariah. It's in the time of Mordechai and Esther. But again, all six of these opinions agree that what Hallel is, it's a song of being saved from danger, and a particular type of danger, a danger of an enemy. And the machloket is whether the enemy was Paro, or the enemy was Malchei Canaan, or Sisra, or Sancherev, or Nebuchadnezzar, or Haman. Yes?
Well, like, if that, meaning, I'm not like saying, obviously the group of Haman, but I'm saying that, like, where, if they read Hallel, you could get the fact that it's the people who that's what they're saying. So, like, how do we just pick random times where, like...
Okay, so that's the question. What's this machloket based on? But before we do that, let me turn to your question in a second, Shoshana. But let's just read the seventh opinion of the Gemara. V'chachamim omrim, nevi'im shebeneihem tiknu lahem liYisrael. Shehu omrim otan al kol perek v'perek. They're called Sarabat Sarashalota Volehim Yisrael. Ulikishen Nigalin Omrimotan al Giulatan. What is the opinion of the Chachamim, and how is that opinion different from the other six? That it was written by Nevi'im Shebeneihem, and to be recited not in response to a specific event, but rather in response to any event, but event of what type?
Redemption.
The same type of event. Not just a redemption, but redemption from an enemy. And when they are redeemed, and in fact, Shoshana's question might be what's behind this machloket, Rashi and the Rashbam here. Rashi, in commenting on the second opinion of the Gemara, right? The first opinion, Rabbi Eliezer, says, Moshe v'Yisrael amruhu. And then, that second opinion is Rabbi Huda. He says, Yehoshua b'Yisrael amruhu. Rashi adds one word there. What does Rashi add? Af Yehoshua. According to Rashi, Rabbi Huda wasn't exactly arguing with Rabbi Eliezer. What does af mean? Not but. Also, or even. Right? Rabbi Eliezer says, Moshe said it. Rabbi Huda says, no, Yehoshua said it. But he doesn't mean no. Yehoshua said it as opposed to Moshe. Moshe said it with Bnei Yisrael when they were saved from Paro. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rashi, adds, and Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael also said it when they were saved from Malchei Canaan. And then the next position says, and Barak and Sisera and Dvorah said it when they were saved from Sisera. And someone else says, and Chizkiah Melech Yehuda said it when he was saved from Sancheret, v'chule, v'chule. And Rashbam attacks him. He says, if that's the case, what's the machlokes? What are they arguing about? Really, they all agree with the Chachamim. They all agree with the Chachamim that this is a song designed to be sung under any circumstances. And maybe that's what Rashi thinks. Maybe Rashi thinks it's not a machloket at all. And perhaps that's what you're asking, Shoshana. Perhaps what they're saying... So according to the Rashbam, he doesn't agree with Rashi. And he says, no, apparently each one of these Amoraim had a Mesorah from his teacher. That it was Dafka written in that time or that time or that time.
But how would there be so many different
Mesorah? That's apparently what Rashi thinks. And therefore, Rashi seems to think that there isn't really a machlokas going on here at all.
I just hope that they just picked
it up. According to Rashi, it sounds like the real opinion, this is what the Rashbam criticizes Rashi on. Right? But your question on the Rashbam brings us back to Rashi. Rashi seems to be saying that the real answer is what the Chachamim say, which is that Nevi'im Shebeneihem Tiknu, that this is a song that was written to be recited under any of these types of circumstances, and each one of these Amoraim is correct that Bnei Yisrael said it on that time and on that time and on that time, but it's not limited to those times either. Right? What other day, by the way, did Chazal require us to say Hallel?
That's not
Rosh Chodesh is actually not a mitzvah. Rosh Chodesh is a minhag, and that's why we say what's called halel bedilug or chatzi halel on Rosh Chodesh. And Chanukah, which is not listed here, right, was definitely a later event. Okay, exactly.
We don't say it like on Purim.
Purim, the Gemara and Megillah asked, we talked about this before Yom Ha'atzmaut. The Gemara and Megillah wants to know why we don't say it on Purim. Because in theory you should say it on Purim, and the Gemara has three different answers why for one technical reason or another. So that depends. That's a good question. It depends maybe which answer you take there. If you take the answer that the Megillah to Esther replaces Hallel, so then maybe they said Hallel, but then later they get wrong. Okay, yes.
It's just a minhag to say Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. How can you say it with a bracha?
That's why Sephardim don't say it with a bracha. It's machlokas whether you can say a bracha on a minhag. That's a whole discussion there. Okay. And by the way, it connects also to machlokas about Hallel and Yom Ha'atzmaut. Although you don't need to hold that way. Whatever. That also whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan, this is all connected to that discussion also, but we won't go into that. Okay, so it seems that Hallel, first of all, was composed according to all of these opinions. No, not according to all of them, but according to many of these opinions, Hallel was composed long before the time of David. According to some of them, perhaps after the time of David. And Hallel, all the six prakim here are prakim that have no names. There's no Mizmor LeDavid here, there's no LeAsaf, LeFnei Korach, right? So these are anonymous prakim, and it's not clear when they were written. And what we're going to see is that Hallel seems to be an example also of a phenomenon we've seen in Tehillim, where perhaps psukim or expressions that were formulated in one context are later borrowed. We've seen this, you know, certain prakim of Tehillim take psukim from other prakim, or they're reworked later on. In the beginning of what we learned, we saw three prakim of Tehillim that are sort of reworked in Divrei Hayamim, or maybe Divrei Hayamim was the original text, and they're then later on split up into three different prakim of Tehillim, or whatever. That people, the Mishoririm, at the various generations, you know, felt free taking words that were written Beruach HaKodesh, or even B'Nevuah, by earlier, by great people of earlier generations, and then taking them and editing them and reworking them in, and we'll see that some of the prakim of Hallel seem to be that also. But according to this, Hallel should be sung perhaps almost spontaneously on a day that we were redeemed from some kind of danger. And also Hallel should be sung perhaps maybe on the anniversary of those events. I understand why we say Hallel on Chanukah. I understand why we say Hallel on Pesach. But how do you understand Hallel on Shavuot, for example? Or on Sukkot? Shavuot, well, Sukkot doesn't seem to commemorate any particular event. Nothing happened on the 15th of Tishrei that's being commemorated. The Torah commands us to sit in Sukkot to remember, Ki basukkot toshavti et b'nei Yisrael b'eretz Mitzrayim. But we're not commemorating a particular event that happened on that day. And Hallel was a central feature of Sukkot. If you read the Mishnayot in Masechet Sukkot, they would sing the Hallel as they walked around the Mizbeach with the Arava. And we have the Minhag today on Sukkot, which is a very early Minhag that we shake the Arbat Haminim when we say certain psukim in the Hallel. And Shavuot perhaps commemorates an event of Matan Torah, but the event of Matan Torah doesn't fit the description of these types of events. We weren't saved from an enemy on Shavuot. So what's Hallel doing on Shavuot and on Sukkot? What's Hallel doing on Shloshata and Shalosh Regalim? From who? From what? Okay, let's leave that question in the background, and let's see what we come up with as we try to figure out what this Hallel is. Yeah, but it's praise. I mean, we're told here in the Gemara, and also when we read, well, you know, let's read through the prakim now and say, even if it's just praise, why this? The whole Sefer Tehillim. Why this? Now, we have here six mizmorim. There are those who think. What?
Shavuot could just be like the final process, like this, a step in a process.
Okay, and then, listen, on a certain level, maybe that's one of the answers you could give. In other words, it's clear that Shavuot and Sukkot as well are all commemorative of Yitzhak Mitzrayim in some way, even though they don't necessarily commemorate specific events that happened on those days. On the other hand, The Shalosh Regalim also are very clearly associated with something completely different. Right? What are the Shalosh Regalim clearly associated with besides the event of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Well, that is what we do on these regalim. We are Ole Regia, but why? What do all three of these have to do with?
Like agriculture.
They're clearly associated with the agricultural cycle. In thousands of years of Galut, we sort of forgot about that, or I shouldn't say forgot about it, but we sort of focused on the other aspects of it because it didn't mean anything to us in Galut. And even today in Eretz Yisrael, it means maybe more, but not so much. Most of us aren't farmers and whatever. But Pesach is Chag Aviv. Shavuot is Chag HaKatzir. And Sukkot is Chag HaAsif. It's very, very clear in the Torah that these holidays are, and the Korbanot that you bring, the Korban Omer that's brought on Pesach, and the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuot, the Bikurim that are brought mainly on Sukkot, are clearly revolving around the agricultural cycle, the Abat Haminim as well. So, what does that got to do with Hallel? Okay, so let's put that in the background. Now look, we have here six Mizmorim. There are those who think that there's only five. There are those who think that Kuf Yudalad and Kuf Tedvav maybe are really one. There is no Hallelujah at the end of Kuf Yudalad, and there's no introductory sentence of any type of Vini Kuf Tedvav. So some think that those are really, and some early texts have them as one Mizmor. There are those who think that Kuf Yud Zayin, which is the shortest perek in the entire Tanakh, it's only two psukim long, the shortest Mizmor in Tehillim and the shortest perek anywhere in Tanakh, that maybe that, and it doesn't seem to say very much, there are those who think that maybe that shouldn't be considered an independent Mizmor, and really it's part of Kuf Yud Chet, but that's a little difficult because it does have the Hallelujah at the end there. And Kuf Yud Chet also begins and ends with Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, so it seems to be an independent unit. But in any case, the way we have it in our Sifrei Tehillim, we have here six Mizmorim. And yet these are six Mizmorim, as I wrote to you in the introduction, there are six Mizmorim that seem to form an independent unit that according to this Mesorah in the Gemara Pesachim is perhaps a very, very old Mesorah, maybe many hundreds of years before Sefer Tehillim was composed or compiled. So we have to look at it as six Mizmorim, and we have to also look at it as one big composition. Now I started trying to do that. And what I'm about to say, I don't know if this is the Tov or the Ra, but what I'm about to say is my own idea. I looked to see if the Mefarshim talk about this. I didn't see it, not in the classical Mefarshim and not in the modern ones. So either that means one of three things. Either it means that someone does talk about it and I missed it, or it means that it's original. If it's original, it's either a big chiddush or it's just wrong. So I'm not sure which, but I'll tell you what it looks like to me. Let's read from the beginning. Okay? I got six prakim here. I see a very beautiful progression between the first, second, and third of these mizmorim. I ran into a little trouble with four and five, which I'll tell you how I think we can try to resolve. And then six follows very nicely also. I'll show you what I mean. Let's start with perek, the first perek, which is Kuf Yud Gimel. Let's read it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah Avdei Adonai. Hallelujah et Shem Adonai. Yishem Adonai Mivarach Me'ata V'Yad Olam. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivoro Mihulal Shem Adonai. Ram Al Kol Goyim Adonai. Al HaShamayim Kvodo. Mi'ik Adonai Eloheinu Hamagbihi Lashavet. Hamashpili Lirot B'Shamayim Uva'aretz. Mekimi Me'afar Dal Me'ashpot Yarim Evyon. Lahoshivi im nidivim im nidive avon, moshivi akeret habayit, eim habanim smecha, hallelujah. Who is being called upon here to praise Hashem? Avde Hashem. Avde Hashem is a very general term, it doesn't necessarily refer to anyone specific. And the praises of Hashem here are also very, very general. We don't have specific events referred to here, we have a few examples. But examples that are typological ones. There's a dal, a poor person who's picked up from the dust. There's an akeret habayit, a barren woman who becomes the eim habanim smecha. But that could be many, many, many different people in many different generations. We're not talking about a specific event here. But there's something very, very powerful in this perek. How is Hashem described here? We want to praise Hashem, right? Hallelu avdei Hashem, hallelu et shem Hashem. And then the Mishorer, after calling upon the Avdei Hashem to praise Hashem and to praise His great name, he defines what sort of praise there is. And there are three statements, one after the other, that refer to three different ways of looking at this. Yehi Shem Hashem Mivorach Me'ata V'Yad Olam means what? Me'ata V'Yad Olam? Forever. That is for all time. The praise of Hashem go beyond time. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo Mi'ulal Shem Hashem. Now, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun could be viewed also as an expression of time. It was from the morning until the evening, but it could also be an expression of what? Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo. From space, from the east to the west. Like we saw in Perek Yud Ted, if you remember. B'kteh ha-shamayim motzao, right? From one end of the sky to the other. So if the first pasuk, Yishem Hashem Yivorach Me'atav Yad Olam, says that the praise of Hashem are beyond time, perhaps the second pasuk, Mimizrach Shemesh Anuvo'o Mehulal Shem Hashem, means that the praise of Hashem are beyond space. And then the third one is, Ram Al Kol Goyim Hashem, Al HaShamayim Kvodo. He is elevated among all the nations and above the heavens. So he's above humanity, he's above human interactions, he's above history. Hashem is beyond everything. That's what this mizmor says. Right? He's beyond time, he's beyond space, he's beyond the world and humanity. Now look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk continues that theme and then makes a dramatic shift. Well, actually, the one after that makes a dramatic shift. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Hey continues the theme. Mi kadonai Eloheinu hamagbihi lashav. We've just defined Hashem and said that His praises go beyond time and space and humanity and history, and they're above the world and even above the heavens. Al Hashamayim kvodo. Hashem is beyond everything. Mi kashem Elokeinu hamagbihi lashav, who sits upon high. And then the next pasuk dramatically reverses itself and says, and you know how great He is? Not only is He magbi lashavet, not only is He sitting there beyond and above everything, but His real praise is what? Hamashpili lirot. Bashamayim uva'aretz. What's mashpili? He goes, he comes down, he lowers himself. And here's where Am Yisrael sees the world so differently than so many other philosophies. And then the pagan society among which we existed and when we first came into this world with the message of Hashem. Yes, Hashem is magbi lashavet. Al Hashamayim kvodo. He's beyond time and space and history in the world. But His real praise is that He doesn't sit up there. He comes down. He comes down to earth. Hamashpili lirot. He lowers Himself to the Shamayim because He is really above even the Shamayim. He lowers Himself to the Shamayim, and He lowers Himself even further to the Aretz. And what does He do when He gets down here? He sees what's going on, and what does He do? Mikimi me'afar dal me'ashpot yarim evyom. He comes down to see who needs His help. And He sees the dal who's in the afar. He sees the poor person who's wallowing in the dirt. And He lifts him up. Lahoshivi nidivim nidivei amo. He sees this person who needs help, and he comes down so that He can raise others up. That's His real praise. Mashpili lirot b'shamayim v'aretz mikimi me'afar dal me'ashpot yarim evyom. And He helps. He does chesed. He helps the poor, and He helps the akeret habayit. He sees this barren woman who has no future. She has no children, and He turns her into the Eim habanim smecha. That's the greatest praise of Hashem. That even though He's magbihi lashavet, He's mashpili lirot. So Hallel begins, this is the first mizmor. It begins with this universal message. This is almost a theological message. That on the one hand, Hashem is beyond everything, He's infinite. But His real praise is that He gets involved in the world. He's involved in even the smallest person's troubles. And He comes down so that He can raise others up. And then we switch to something completely different, or so it seems. The next mizmor, Kuf Yud Aleph, Vitzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. So all of a sudden, what are we talking about here? Now we're talking about history. We're talking about a specific event. Vitzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Beit Yaakov me'am lo'ez. Now, does this have anything to do with the previous parak?
Yes.
Yes, what? Go ahead, Arjuna.
Example.
It's an example, or perhaps the example, right? The previous parak spoke about what Hashem does for people in any time, in any place, right? He's mekimi me'afar dam, me'ashpot yarim evyom ha'oshivim nedivim. And now, the next mizmor gives a very specific example of that on a national meta-historic scale. You want to see perhaps the greatest example in history of mekimi me'afar dam, me'ashpot yarim evyom? Bitzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. These were slaves. You want to see Lahoshivim Nidivim and Nidivei Amo. Bitzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim Beit Yaakov Me'am Loeis Haita Yehuda LeKodsho Yisrael Mam Shalotav. He took this nation of slaves and he turned them into the Nidivei Amo. He turned them into the princes, the ones who embody his holy dwelling and his and the ones upon over whom he rules. He turned them from the low to the high. And he took people who were like the Akeret Habayit with no future, and he turned them into the Eim Habanim Smecha. But when he did that to Mitzrayim, when it was B'tzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, it wasn't just an individual person in an individual situation. It was an event that shook the world. Hayam Ra'ah Bayanos Hayardein Yisov Le'achor. These refer to actual historical events. The sea split. The Yarden split and moved, turned backwards. But they are also poetic images. The nature itself trembled when Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Heharim rakdu cheilim. Givaot kivnei tzon. Mountains jumped around like little animals. And the Meshorer poetically turns to, he sees the whole world going crazy, the nature going crazy. And he asks, Malcha hayam kitanus hayarden tisov le'achor. Heharim tirkidu cheilim gvaot kivnei tzon. Why are you doing that? Why are you all jumping around like this? And metaphorically, the yam and the harim respond. Milifnei adon chuli aretz. Milifnei Eloah Yaakov. We are dancing in front of the adon. We saw Hashem's revelation of Himself in this world. We saw that great Hitgalut. We saw B'tzeit Yisrael Mitzrayim. We saw Hashem come down, Mashpili Lirot B'Shamayim V'Aretz. We saw how He took them out. And the whole world danced. Nature itself danced. Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz. And we saw that He continued to take care of them in Midbar. Ha'ofchi Hatzur Agam Mayim Chalamish L'Ma'ino Mayim. He turned a barren desert into a place of springs and lakes for them. We saw what He did and we responded. So Perek Kuf Yud Dalid takes the theological principle of Kuf Yud Gimel, which is Hamagbihi Lashavet Hamashpili Lirot, and uses the imagery of Yitziat Mitzrayim when Hashem brought Am Yisrael out into the world, out into history, as the quintessential example of Mekimi Me'afar Dal. It shows how it impacted the entire world. And from that, it goes into Perek Kuf Tet Vav. And Perek Kuf Tet Vav takes that reality and turns it now into almost a demand. We turn to Hashem. And remember, these are prakim that are meant to be said in the future. Al kol tzara v'tzara shelo tavo aleihem u'lechishenigalim yomru otan al geulatan. People in the time of Sisra, people in the time of Sancherev, of Mordechai and Esther and Haman, people in the time of the Chashmonaim fighting the Yevanim, people who survived the Holocaust and came to Midian Yisrael, and also said this parak. So we start with the principle, next, B'tzeit Yisrael Mitzrayim, and that turns into a combination of a tefillah and a commitment. What's the tefillah? Perak Kuf Tet Vav. Lo lanu Adonai, lo lanu kilishimcha tein kavod. Don't do this for us. Do this for your own sake, for your own name. Al chastecha l'mitecha. When you took us out of Mitzrayim, the world saw milifnei adon chuli aretz. Now that we're in another trouble, and you've just saved us from it again, continue to do that. Or maybe we are anticipating future troubles. Continue to save us for your sake. Like the Gemara quoted from Yeshayahu, Lemani, Lemani, Esa. Don't do it for us. Lo lanu Hashem ki l'shimcha ten kavod. Because you understand what the alternative is? If you don't save us, if you allow us to be oppressed, you know what's going to happen? Lama yomru hagoyim el ayeina Eloheihem. The goyim are going to look at us and they're going to laugh and they're going to say, "Where's your God now?" The truth is, pasuk gimel beloheinu b'shamayim kol asher chafetz asah. The real answer to that question, ayei Eloheihem, is Eloheinu b'shamayim. Kol asher chafetz asah. He can do whatever he wants and compare it to their gods. Atzabehem kesef izahav masei yedei adam. Pelahem lo yedaberu, einayim lahem lo yiru, aznayim lahem lo yishmau, af lahem lo yimichun, yedehem lo yimishunak, lahem lo yaleichu, lo yegu bigronam. They worship false gods that are made of kesef izahav. And they're meaningless. They have mouths and they can't speak, and they have eyes and they can't see. And they don't breathe. But if you allow us to be oppressed, they're going to believe in their false gods. And they're going to say, ayei Eloheihem. Don't let that happen, God. Kimohem yihyu osehem kol asher bateach bahem. Let them who trust in the false gods, let them turn into be like their gods. And us, Yisrael, betach badonai ezram maginamhu, beit aharon betchu badonai ezram maginamhu, yirei adonai betchu badonai ezram maginamhu. We'll talk about those three groups in a minute. Rav Amital, zecher tzadik levracha, who was a Holocaust survivor, escaped from the Holocaust when he was a young man in his 20s, or late teens, I think, maybe in his 20s. His entire family was killed in the Holocaust. He was the only survivor from his family. Came to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilt everything and ultimately started the great yeshiva in Har Etzion. And he, whenever was asked about the Holocaust and how he dealt with it, you know, theologically or whatever, he would only say one thing. He never spoke about his personal feelings. He never tried to justify it. He never tried to explain how could something like this happen. He had only one comment he would say over and over and over again. In his view, he said the Holocaust was the greatest chilul shem shamayim in all of history. It was a terrible chilul Hashem. Because of this. Because of lama yomru hagoyim ayei Eloheihem. So in this parak, which we're still in the middle of, after pointing out what happened with Betzeit Yisrael Mitzrayim, we ask Hashem, you've got to keep on doing that. Don't let your name be defiled. Don't let this chilul Hashem happen. Lama yomru agoyim Eloheihem, they're going to believe in their false gods. No, they should believe in you. Let those who believe in them be like them, having no ability to see or speak or think. And we, Yisrael betach b'Hashem, ezram maginamhu, betaharon betchu b'Hashem, ezram maginamhu, yirei Hashem betchu b'Hashem, ezram maginamhu. There's three groups there. There's Yisrael, Beit Aharon, and Yirei Hashem. These are three groups that are told, trust in Hashem, as opposed to the Goyim, who trust in their false gods. Trust in the true God, the one who's Bashamayim, Kol Asher Chafetz Asah. Now, the first group, Yisrael, we know who that is. We know who Beit Aharon is. Who's Beit Aharon? The Kohanim, which are those among B'nai Israel who are chosen for a specific task. And we've talked about the fact that the task that the Kohanim are chosen for within B'nai Israel is the same task that B'nai Israel are chosen for within the rest of the world. Mamlechet Kohanim. So we know who Israel is, and within them, those who are sort of higher representatives of that task. But who's Yirei Hashem? Did you see them before Hashem I asked you to look at? Who are the Yirei Hashem here? There's two different views. What do they say to Mefarshim?
The Gerim.
That's what Rashi says.
Anyone that's got
Gerim. So the Malbim reads it as in like an even higher level. There's Yisrael. Within B'nai Yisrael, there are those who have specifically set aside the B'nai Aharon, and then there are those few individuals who are really Yirei Hashem. They're like the cream of the crop, so to speak. Perhaps, although the term tzaddikim we'll see appears later on, so maybe it means something else. But what you and I perhaps refer to as tzaddikim. But Rashi says it's the dafka the geirim who come from outside, and I think the Ibn Ezra says it refers to chasidei umot ha'olam, not necessarily Jews, but anyone who fears in God. So according to that view, you have Yisrael, you have those that are within Yisrael, pulled out, and then you have those that are outside of Am Yisrael who share in the vision of what Am Yisrael represents, and either become Gerim and join Am Yisrael, or don't, but join in with the belief of Am Yisrael, Yirei Hashem. In any case, these three groups are told, don't believe in the false gods, don't trust in the false gods, but rather, Bitchu Vashem Ezran Magin Amu. Now, that parak then continues with a tefillah. If, in fact, we want to avoid that Chilul Hashem, and we're asking Hashem not to do it for us, but to do it for yourself, and there are these groups, Yisrael, Beit Aharon, and Yirei Hashem, who trust in you and not the false gods, so Hashem, Elokei, Zecharanu, Yivarech, bless us. And who should you bless? Those groups. Yivarech et Beit Yisrael, Yivarech et Beit Aharon, Yivarech Yirei Hashem, Haktanim, Imagdolim. Bless those groups, and why should you bless them? Yosef Hashem Alechem ve'al b'neichem. Bruchim atem Hashem osei shamayim va'aretz. Why? What's the point of that? Lo hameitim yehalleluya v'lo kol yordei duma va'anachnu nivarechya me'ata v'yadolam halleluya. The reason we're asking you to bless us, Hashem, is not to reward us, but so that we can turn that chilul Hashem into a kiddush Hashem. If you let us die, we can't praise you. Lo hameitim yehalleluka, v'lo kol yordei duma. Then we can't praise you. But if you save us, as you have, va'anachnu nivarechya me'ata v'yadolam hallelujah. So we have these three prakim really flow beautifully, right? Perakuf Yud Gimel sets out the principles of who Hashem is. Hamagbihi lashavet hamashpili lirot mekimim me'afar dal. Perakuf Yud Dalet shows the quintessential example of that in history, which saw the whole world to see that Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Tzeit Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. And Perakuf Tedvav says, and therefore, please, you have to keep doing it. It can't just be a one-time event of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Anytime we're in trouble, you have to save us. Lo lanu ki l'shimcha. And we're going to trust in you. Yisrael is going to trust in you, not in the false gods. Beit Aron is going to trust in you. And Yirei Hashem are going to trust in you. And therefore, Yivarech. Yivarech at Beit Yisrael. Yivarech Yirei Hashem. Beit Aron Yivarech Yirei Hashem. And why? Because lo hameitim yehalleluyah. I have only 3 minutes, so if you don't mind, let me just try to. I'm going to have to do the rest of this faster than I would want to. Now, here's where I run into problems. If I would skip Kuftet Zayin and Kufyut Zayin, if I would delete them from Hallel and jump right to Kufyut Chet, if there'd be only four prakim instead of six, it would flow beautifully. Let's try it for a minute, okay? Let's skip those two. We're not really going to do that, but let's just try it for a minute to see my point. After that, we turn to Kuf Yud Chet. Right? We just said, Lo hameitim yehalleluyah, v'lo kol yordei duma, v'anachnu nivarech yah me'atav et olam halleluyah. We're going to praise God. And we turn to Kuf Yud Chet, and what do we say? Hodu Lashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto. And then we say, you know specifically who should do that? Yomarna Yisrael ki li'olam chasto. Yomruna Veit Aharon. Kili Olam Chasto, Yomru Na Yirei Hashem, Kili Olam Chasto. Who are those three groups? The exact ones we spoke about in Kuf Tet Vav. We said Yisrael B'tach Hashem, Beit Aron B'tchu Hashem, right? And we said to them, and then we asked Hashem, praise those three groups. Bless those three groups. Yivarech et Beit Yisrael, Yivarech et Beit Aron, Yivarech Yirei Hashem. So that v'anachnu nivarech ka. Now we turn to them. We say, now do what you promised. Yomarna Yisrael, Kili Olam Chasto. Yomarna Beit Aron, Kili Olam Chasto. Yomarna Yirei Hashem, Kili Olam Chasto. If I had more time, maybe next week we'll do Kuf Yud Chet in greater detail. I'll think about that. But basically, Kuf Yud Chet seems to have been written originally for groups of people that were on their way up to Yerushalayim. They were on their way to Yerushalayim to celebrate in the Beit HaMikdash. How do you know that? Well, after calling upon them to cry out to Hashem, and this parak is written, there's a lot of double language here. In fact, the Gemara says that they used to double it until a certain point, then they stopped doubling it. We actually, when we say Hallel, beginning with the pasuk of Odecha Ki Anitani, we recite each pasuk twice. Because if you look at it, up until that point, the psukim seem to be written as if they're to be said, you know, responsibly by two groups. Like, for example, Tov Lachasot Hashem Yiptoach Badam, Tov Lachasot Hashem Yiptoach Ben Divin. Kol goyim sivavuni b'shem Hashem ki'elam sabuni kam sivavuni. as if it's, and then when you hit Odecha Ki Anitani, the double nature of it seems to cease, and therefore the minhag is to repeat those psukim again as if there are these two voices. So you have this image of like two groups that are singing responsively one to the other, or perhaps a shliach tzibur calling out to people in response from the tzibur. But they seem to be on the way someplace, because as they're singing, first they declare their praises. In the middle, they talk about these ahalei tzadikim. They come across these tents filled with tzadikim who are singing kol rina vishua. And they're praising Hashem for what happened, and they're making these commitments. Lo achmut ki achye v'asaper maseya. Yasor yisrani la v'lamavit lo netarani. They've been saved. They've been saved from enemies, and therefore they join with these groups. They come out of their tents, and they join with these groups. And then they get to what seems to be the gates of Yerushalayim, and they call out to those inside, Pitchuli Shari Tzedek, open the gates for me, Avovam, I want to come in, Odeya, so that I can praise Hashem. And the people at the gates open the gates and respond to them, Zehashar Hashem, this is the gate, come in, Tzadikim Yavovo, you who came out of your Ohalei Tzadikim, come in and praise Hashem. And they continue, and they do it. They say, Odecha, I praise you, Ki Anitani. And then it seems they get to the Beit HaMikdash. When they get to the Beit HaMikdash, they're told, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. Be'erach Nuchemi Beit Hashem. The Kohen at the entrance to the Mikdash says to them, welcome, come in B'Shem Hashem. And what do they say to him? El Hashem V'Yair Lanu Isru Chag Ba'avotim Ad Karnot Mizbeach. What does that mean? What's the Chag they're talking about there? I don't have time. The Chag is a Korban. And they it's as if they're handing their Korban to the Kohen and saying, tie this Korban to the Mizbeach, so that we can praise Hashem, and then they do it. The Kohanim take the Korban and they declare, Eli Atavi Odeka Lahayar Omeka, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilom Chasto. So this perek seems, and that Mikra commentary, that's what he thinks. He thinks this perek was actually originally written for such a group of people, or by such a group of people on their way up to Yerushalayim, but later on it was incorporated into the Hallel, and phrases like Zeh Hashar Lashem or Pitchuli Sharei Tzedek have to become metaphorical. There aren't actually gates being opened here. But my point is, and with this I'll have to stop, if we delete Kuf Tet Zayin and Kuf Yud Zayin, it flows beautifully. Right? We have four prakim, where we first set out there our theological principle, Halu Avdei Hashem. We show the historic example of the Betzeit Yisomi Mitzrayim. We connect that to future events, just as the Gemara did, the Brisa, right? It's not enough to do it to at Mitzrayim. You have to do it also to Yoshua when they're threatened by the Malchei Canaan. You have to do it for Barak and Dvorah when they're threatened by Sisera, and for Chizkiah when he's threatened, and for Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and Mordechai, and Esther, and the people in the time of Chanukah. And you have to keep doing it, because otherwise it's going to be a Chilul Hashem. And you have to do it for Rav Amital. When he cries out that there was a Chilul Hashem, you have to build a Medinat Yisrael so we can sing it too. It all fits in. And then you have the people who were told, come, those groups that we asked Hashem to bless, the Yisrael and the Beit Aron and the Yirei Hashem, they come to Beit HaMikdash and they're told, Yomana Yisrael, Yomana Beit Aron, and they respond, Kili Olam Chasto, and they bring their Korban Toda. And the only problem is that there's two prakim here in the middle. What's different from Kuf Tet Zayin from the ones before and after? One very important difference. One important difference and one similarity. Okay, I don't have time, so I'm going to have to just give it away. But I hate doing that, because like if you'd see it on your own, it'd be so much cooler. Okay, the similarity, Perikuf Yud Chet ends with Isru Chag Ba'avotim. That refers to the Korban that they bring when they come to the Beit HaMikdash. In Kuf Tet Zayin, we have a very similar expression at the end. L'cha Ezbach Zevach Todah V'Shem Hashem Ekra. Perikuf Tet Zayin also talks about a person who's saved, right? Earlier in the perek, Tzarabi Agonim Tzal V'Shem Hashem Ekra, Kos Yishuot Esha V'Shem Hashem Ekra, Nidarai L'Hashem HaShalem, I'm going to fulfill my neder. And what's the neder? L'cha Izbach Zevach Todah, I'm going to bring a korban. But there's one fundamental difference between Kuf Tet Zayin and the perek before it and the prakim after it. It's in singular. All the other prakim here speak in plural. Halu Avdei Hashem. Lo Lanu Ki L'Shimcha Lo Lanu. Right? Halu at Hashem kol goyim. And then even in the last perek there, we have these groups that are coming and they're speaking in the plural. Perek Kuf Tet Zayin is all in the singular, as if it's written by one person. And therefore, and maybe we'll talk about this more next time, but it seems that what's going on here is that there's a There's a, first I thought maybe it was a chiastic structure, but I don't think it's chiastic. I think what's going on here is that when you hit Kuf Tet Vav, right, with that expression, V'anachnu nevarech ya me'atavi ad olam hallelujah, we then split off with it as if there's, it has to come down first to the level of each individual. Whoever I am, whatever I've experienced in my life, I have to gishma shemekoli tachanunai, I have to connect it to my own personal life. I've been saved from my troubles. Lecha is bach zevach toda. And from that, it has to become universalized. Hodu Hashem, Halut Hashem kol goyim has become universalized, and then we return to those people who are, so it's sort of like a parenthetical, you know, type of thing. Okay, but that's as much as we have to do for now, and I hope that gives you a sense of the structure of Halut.